Welcome in. It's trade deadline day. We're about 45 minutes away from the 3 o'clock trade deadline. We'll see what other moves, if any moves, the Giants makes. And of course, any big news across Major League Baseball. We'll keep you updated here on 95.7 The Game. It's Willard and Dibs. No Willard this week. FP Santangelo, Dan Dibley, Mark Randy with you. As again, we count down to the trade deadline, now less than 45 minutes away. The Giants have been busy-ish over the last handful of hours. They make a trade, of course, last night. Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson back to the Atlanta Braves. They get back an injured relief pitcher and a very young minor leaguer. They make a trade earlier today. Alex Cobb out to the Cleveland Guardians. They get back a 19-year-old left-handed pitcher who's currently in high A, single A in that area. So basically nobody that's going to help the team win baseball games right now. But depends on who you talk to. Maybe the team got rid of a couple of players that aren't really that big of contributors for this team. Anyway, we can break all of that down, get into what's coming up here over the next 45 minutes as well. It's Willard and Dibs again alongside FP and Dibs. I'm Mark Randy. 45 minutes, guys. Another move coming up for the Giants. What do we think?
I don't think so, but I mean, I will reserve the possibility that Snell could be moved. I don't know if Conforto could be on the go. Matt Chapman is somebody that everyone's talked about, but I look at what they've done so far, and it feels very much out of the Farhan playbook. And maybe the Johnsons, the owners of the Giants, came to him and said, look, this didn't work. We need to cut payroll for next year. We need to try to find our way to get closer to being below the CBT, the balance tax. And, you know, so you make that move with Soler, who had two more years in his deal. You get out from underneath Cobb, and you start to think about moves for next year. And really, for this year, I don't think it hurts you, because Cobb was your sixth best pitcher if he ever would have made it back. And Soler has been good, but it's not like he's a mainstay in your offense, and you can bring up Luciano and maybe he can produce at the same level. So I look at these moves and I think that they're more balance sheet than they are on the field.
You agree, FP?
I agree. Everything he said, yes, what he said. The one thing I will say to keep our eyes on it is that if you do trade a Blake Snell, there'd be a lot of moving parts, because you're going to get a lot of prospects for him. So that trade wouldn't just happen in my mind until the last minute. So stay tuned. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
I did a Giants fantasy camp today and had a blast with a bunch of really good people. And we were all talking about what's going to happen, and nobody knows. But usually when big trades happen, there's so many physicals going back and forth. And so if there's, say, four or five prospects, or five or six, who knows, for Blake Snell, when you see the hauls that the Orioles got for Trevor, like, there's just, that would take a minute. And the logistics of it would take a minute.
And generally, you could hear some trades that trickle out after the deadline officially comes to a close. So if we don't know anything by three, give it maybe another 10 minutes until we know for sure that nothing is going to happen or something might happen. It might take a little bit.
Give it till 6 o'clock. Give it till right at 6 o'clock. Listen to the show for 4 hours. And then after that, you're on your own.
Maybe we'll hit breaking news for you at 5:55. You'll never know.
You just don't know.
You never know. But I think it's interesting you guys are in agreement that these moves are more motivated, and not necessarily in terms of maybe trying to build a winner for this season and try to give this team the best chance to win, but they're motivated by the balance sheet, by, you know, saving a little bit of money here. And maybe with one more move, you get beneath the CBT. And the CBT is basically baseball's salary cap. There's technically no salary cap. But there is a level of money, of salary, that if you're over that, there are some ramifications. You pay more for every amount above that certain level. You could lose draft picks in future years if you stay over it for a number of years. So it's basically baseball's salary cap. If that's the motivation here, these moves are to help your balance sheet a little bit, help the owners save a little bit of money, help them help their bottom line a little bit. That's a little bit frustrating for me as a Giants fan, because I either want them to put out a team that they think has the best chance to win, or not just take a half measure and kind of somewhat a little bit save a little bit of money on the balance sheet, as opposed to doing this, which is kind of right down the middle. And it's hard for me to figure out exactly what the motivation is.
But to me, this goes to the player. The Giants aren't cheap. They're not trying to save money. They signed Jorge Soler to this 3-year deal to hit home runs and drive in runs. And if he's not doing that, and he doesn't feel comfortable hitting in the middle of the order, and he wants to be a leadoff hitter, and you pay this amount of money for him, then for me, you're not getting what the value of what you paid for.
I mean, he was pretty good the last month.
Why would I pay him to lead off? Like, if he doesn't want to drive in runs, and he's not good at driving in runs, which he wasn't for the entire time he was here. He was hitting better. He's getting on base. He hit some monster taters. Like, that's more of, we're not getting what we thought we're getting out of you. This isn't what we bought. This is buyer's remorse in the sense that we signed you to be a middle-of-the-order guy, to be an OPS guy, to drive in runs, and to hit far home runs. And he really hasn't done that until the last 2 weeks, but he's doing it out of the leadoff spot. Like, Shohei bats first, but Shohei steals bases. Shohei can run. So, and he only lead off once. But I guess my point is, like, this is more on the player for underperforming and not living up to what they envisioned this contract to be. And if you got a guy that you signed to be a middle of the order guy, and he doesn't feel comfortable hitting the middle of the order, and he wasn't very good hitting the middle of the order, then I'm not going to waste that money on a home run hitter that hits 220, that strikes out 200 times a year and leads off. That's not what they signed him for. So I have zero problem with this move by the Giants. It does, in my mind, being a baseball guy my whole life, this isn't they're trying to cut salary. They're just not getting what they paid for. And if you have a chance to get out of a bad contract and you're not getting what you paid for in that contract, this is a smart move.
Especially when you look at trying to be outside of the CBT and the tax in future years, which, as you mentioned, Grandy, it is punitive when you want to make moves and you want to have draft picks, and they had to lose a couple draft picks this year. And if you're a repeat team in that tax, then you lose four picks instead of two. So you're trying to rebuild this team, and you look at a player like Soler, who has not worked out as well as you thought, and he's got $32 million more over the next 2 years that you're going to have to pay. So you're able to make a deal and package Luke Jackson away, and something that you were passionate about. You wanted him off the team a month ago, and he's a guy who made a lot of money, and he's got a guaranteed deal. So now you get outside of some guaranteed money, and you free up a spot for Marco Luciano to come up and be able to do what he does best, which is not field. It's hit. So if Luciano can come up, and now you've got a real core of young guys with Fitzgerald and Wisely and Matos and Ramos and Luciano, that's going to be five of your nine hitters most nights, and that might be good enough. And if it's not good enough, well, at least they're getting experience and you're getting ready for next year. It's not a full-on punt for this year, because you trade Alex Cobb and he's not even in your rotation, and nor would he maybe have been ever. I mean, you would have had to send Birdsong down, and instead you have Cobb in, a 36-year-old Alex Cobb, but instead you got Birdsong, and you get a look at two young pitchers, and you saw Jordan Hicks already, and he looked good as a starter, and you think maybe if he stretches out next year, he could be a starter for more than just half the year. I think there are positives for this year and for next year that make it so, as a Giants fan, I look at these moves, and I don't think that this is a full-on punt.
Over the last 25 games, last month essentially, for Jorge Soler, since June 27th, hitting .289, on base of .389, 11 doubles, 3 home runs, 12 RBIs. I know the RBIs, the runs batted in numbers, aren't great, and that's to your point. You paid him to be a middle-of-the-order guy, hit a lot of home runs, drive in a lot of runs, not be a leadoff hitter. But let's not pretend like he hasn't been good for the last month either. He's been pretty good. I mean, it's best stretch of the year by a mile, and I know it's still, overall, you look at the season stats, not great, but for what he's done over the last month, and while it hasn't necessarily translated to consistent wins and losses, maybe until the last four games when you happen to sweep the Colorado Rockies, I think you could still look at that. In my opinion, I don't know how you could say the team got better by losing Jorge Soler. I know that it's good to create the opportunity for Marco Luciano, and he was up here for a couple of weeks earlier, and while we love to focus on the issues that he had fielding the ball, and he had a couple of nice moments with the bat, let's not pretend that he's a proven commodity in terms of a bat at this level either. I have a hard time believing that this move makes you better, and if your motivation was to get better, then there was a lot of other things that you could have done to actually bring someone in instead of just selling someone else away to make room for a young guy who's unproven for you.
Well, and what does get better mean? I mean, does get better mean between now and the end of September get better? Or does get better mean to be better now and also be better next year? And so I think that by getting off of Soler's money and you get rid of Alex Cobb and you get rid of Luke Jackson, I do think it puts you in a position to where maybe next year you have a chance to be better. And right now, if you bring up Luciano or you have other hitters step in and be the DH, it doesn't necessarily make you that much worse. Yeah, Soler had one good month, and previous to that, he was pretty shaky. He's a strikeout machine, and he's a guy who's your leadoff hitter, and you would rather not have him be your leadoff hitter. So I think the fit is a little bit awkward for Soler. So now you get a real chance to put in a leadoff hitter, and you get a DH who maybe it's Luciano, maybe it's going to be somebody else, and you have a chance to still get that same productivity.
Maybe. I don't know.
We'll know if they got better. We don't know that.
Right.
We don't know. We're all speculating. They could have gotten worse today. If Soler were to hit third and driven in like 65 runs to this point and had 20 homers, you're not trading him. He traded himself by not feeling comfortable in the middle of the lineup and being a leadoff hitter and not being what you wanted him to be. So if you got a guy that you have for 3 years that doesn't want to do what you signed him to do and doesn't feel comfortable with that, I wouldn't keep him around. Do they get better with Luciano as a DH? If that indeed is the case, I don't know. I don't know if Luciano's ready for even offense up here. I don't know if he can run the bases. I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe it's 500, and he's the talk of the next 2 months. And they catch lightning in a bottle. And this kid is—he's not going to be a DH for life. He's too young to be a DH for life. So maybe he just gets his feet wet at the major league level, gets 200 at bats under his belt for the next 2 months. But I don't know they got worse today. I don't know if they got better today. Only time will tell that.
Soler with 3 home runs over the past 26 games or 23 games. So it's not like he's been driving the ball out of the park. And I know you mentioned he's batting .292, which is good.
He's a leadoff hitter. He's not a leadoff hitter. It takes 7 hits to score him once he gets to first.
Right, but if you're the leadoff hitter and you're a power hitter, then hit home runs because that's what you were brought in to do. He had 3 home runs the past month. That's not great.
He's probably going to hit 3 in his first game as a Brave. Just watch.
He will.
That's what he does.
He will.
That's what he does. All right, we got to hit a break. We'll get into this more. We got a little more than 30 minutes until the official trade deadline. We'll take you up to that. We'll take you through it. We're on until 6, as always, here on 95.7 The Game. What's the motivation for the Giants and their moves thus far? Maybe there's another move coming, but for me, I'm having a hard time figuring out exactly what the motivation was. Was it to help this team? Was it to save some money? Was it to look to the future? I don't know. We can dive into it. You can let us know. 888-957-9570. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Willard and Dibbs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And while you're there, make sure to check out the Morning Roast and how they reacted to the Giants shipping off Jorge Soler. More Willard and Dibbs coming up next with Dibbs, FP, and Grandy on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. About 28 minutes until the MLB trade deadline. The Giants have made a couple of moves. Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson gone to the Atlanta Braves. You get back an injured reliever who's just had Tommy John last year. Might not ever pitch for the Giants. You'll find out there. It was more so just a salary dump. You got Atlanta to take the full contract of both Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson. You then later on make a trade to send Alex Cobb to the Cleveland Guardians. You get off that money. That is an expiring deal. Maybe the last couple of months of Alex Cobb's big league career. You hope that he closes things out well. You're right, FB. He's been a good Giant, and I think most Giants fans certainly rooting for Alex Cobb. You get back a young 19-year-old left-handed pitcher who's in high A, I think, at this stage. Don't expect him to be in the majors for a number of years. But as you guys are talking about, maybe those are both from positions of strengths for the San Francisco Giants. If you're trying to sell off these moves as good moves, and I think you guys both believe they are, you're clearing up spots for guys that you think are ready to fill those spots. One of the things we talked about yesterday, and it's Willard and Dibbs with FP, Dibbs, and Grandy here in for Mark Willard. You had 6 starting pitchers as of yesterday. Now you trade one of those away, a guy who hasn't even pitched for you yet, and you give young Hayden Birdsong, a nice vote of confidence, and now you know most likely that he's going to have a starting job for the rest of the season. That in and of itself, even if things go poorly and you miss the postseason, nice little bit of confidence for the young guy, and maybe you look ahead to 2025 with him and he's better for it. You never know.
He should be, and I don't look at these moves as go for it moves, but I also don't look at them as give up moves. They're like FP was saying yesterday, and I really took it to heart, and I thought a lot about not using the B word or the S word not that B word and not that S word.
They're not together.
I love that B word and I love that S word. Second only to the F word among my words, but buy and sell, because this was not a buy. And I don't think that this was a sell either. I think that this
was what
little,
it is.
Right. It's a reshuffle. You know what it is? It's the other S word, save. They're saving money. And that's not sexy. Another S word. A lot of four-letter S words coming out in this segment. But it's not sexy to save money. But I do think this is what they did. You look at a rotation with six pitchers, and you think, how do we get a five-man rotation? Well, you trade one. And would you like to trade Blake Snell? Maybe. And they still might. 25 minutes to go. They might have something on the table where they get a couple of major leaguers and a couple of prospects. And who knows? Because Blake Snell right now would be the hottest name that could possibly be dealt in the next 25 minutes. But I look at this move and it doesn't feel to me like they're waving the white flag on the year. Obviously, they didn't make any big additions, but this one feels to me like a little bit of a reshuffle. You're going to save money. You're going to let a couple of young players have a bigger role down the stretch. And who knows? It either works or it doesn't work. And if it doesn't work, I do think that Farhan can go to his bosses and say, well, we kind of fixed things up a little bit with the books. Please don't fire me.
I probably shouldn't share this on the air, but I'm going to.
You won't.
Anyways, and it's a story about Luke Jackson. And so when you're on the charter.
Now that he's gone, you can just bury the guy.
No, this is a good story.
Okay.
I was in the elevator. I was in the elevator with him the other day in Denver, and he said, you know, we better get our stuff together here in the next couple games or else it's going to get weird around the trade deadline. And I said, on the elevator, just him and I, well, you might find yourself in a better situation. You never know. And he laughed. He goes, ah, you're right. You never know. And here he is back in a familiar place that he won a World Series.
Was really good on that World Series.
He was really good on that team. And he was really good the last couple of weeks for the Giants, too. But even things that I heard in the clubhouse and on the charter, which I shouldn't be lifting the curtain back this far, but if it paints somebody in a good light, I think it's okay. That he was all about camaraderie. And I would hear him say things at times like, I don't care about X, Y, and Z. I just want us to get close as a team. I'd be like, oh, that's a veteran move. Or like, I don't care about who owes me what in this card game. I'm here for the team bonding and the team building. And like, so that's what you get from a veteran player that has resume. Well, we just see, you know, maybe he gave it up three nights in a row and boy, he's really struggling and that guy sucks. If behind the scenes he's mentoring younger pitchers and he has a World Series ring and he's played October baseball, there's value to that, even though he's not getting the job done. And he's been around so long that he's not dumb. He knows what's going on. He's smart. He's been in baseball a long time. So when we sit here and we say Soler and he got traded, like with our fantasy football mentality, there's more to it than that. Like I don't know what kind of guy Jorge Soler was as a teammate. I didn't hear these things from him because obviously English is his second language. He seemed to be well-liked and well-loved in that clubhouse, but I don't know the dynamic behind the scenes where if I'm Farhan and I go to Bob Melvin, like what kind of guy is this? He's a winning guy. Is he laughing 5 minutes after we lose? Is he a happy hit guy? Meaning I got three hits today and we lost 7-2 and I'm happy. Like there's a lot more that goes into a trade. What determines the value of a player? Like you can't hit 190 and be a great teammate. I'd still be playing if that was the case. but you do have to bring value in other places that we'll never see. You do have to do things behind the scenes that makes your team a better team. It's not always the obvious. As fans, we just see the obvious. We see 2-for-4. We see 222 with 13 home runs and 12 RBI, whatever it is, we see the numbers. But when we're talking about trade deadline, it's scout your own players. Scouting your own players and knowing your own players better than anybody knows your own player is more valuable to me than who you're getting in return. So they obviously knew who Luke Jackson was. They got him injured. He worked his way back from Tommy John to become the pitcher I think he once was the last couple of days. He's going to add value in a familiar situation with a familiar manager and a familiar pitching coach. Jorge Soler won a World Series in Atlanta.
MVP.
A lot of his frustrating outs at Oracle Park are going to be 26 rows back in Atlanta. And so in that regard that he's locked it in, there's value to the Braves. Like they know they got themselves a DH. They're riddled with injuries. They need some. Their team is built on home runs. That's how they win, pitching and home runs. So they got both. They got pitching and they got home runs. So I guess my long-winded take here is that there's so much more that goes. We talked about it for 4 hours yesterday. There's so much more that goes into a trade than just like, oh, he hit 220. His ERA is 5.4. Like, what kind of people are these people? Do they add value to your clubhouse? Are they good teammates? Are they winning baseball players? Sometimes a winning baseball player is having a bad year, but that doesn't make him a cancer in the clubhouse. If he's a winning player and that's in his DNA and that's in his makeup, there's value to that. Not that you can go out there and have a 7 ERA and be a great guy on the plane and in the clubhouse, but, you know, if you're struggling, how are you handling the struggles? Are you walking around making it all about yourself? Are you woe is me, pity pot, everybody come over and show me love and show me attention? Or are you just going around being the same guy every single day with a positive attitude and helping your teammates and helping this guy and helping that guy? And you would never know that this guy's hitting 190, or you would never know that this guy's ERA is 6.5. So there's so many different things. It's not just about numbers. It's not just about fantasy football mentality. There's other ways you can be a winning player on a ball club, even if you're having a tough year. And I think Luke Jackson was that guy. I know he didn't. He frustrated all of us. I was like, what are we doing?
Especially this guy. The guy to your right.
Well, I get Grandy's frustration because I was right there doing the games going, why are we bringing him in right now? Like, oh my God, this guy's like an arsonist at this point. But then, you know, then you see the behind the scenes thing and you remember the resume and you remember the quality person that he is. Not that it's a popularity contest by any means. The bottom line is you go out and got to produce at the highest level. But if you're having good outing, bad outing, and you're still the same guy in the clubhouse and you're still helping young players and you're still about team and you're about we and not me, to me, that's a championship mentality. And he has a ring to prove that.
And that's a great quality. And that's something that, you know, we oftentimes can't quantify as fans. And, you know, Mark and I on our show thread, every time Luke Jackson comes in and gives up two or three runs in a third of an inning or two thirds. And
I know
Grandy's blowing them up. And I'm like, yeah, Grandy, you know, go off on them. And as fans, you don't know all those little things. And I'm glad you told that story about the elevator because, you know, sometimes a change of scenery can really help a pitcher, can help a player. And you just never know until it actually happens. But I look at that trade, Soler and Jackson for a guy coming off Tommy John and a single A player. And it felt to me like it was almost exclusively about the money. Atlanta was willing to take on the money. The Giants didn't have to pay another cent to these guys. And whatever they got back, it might be something. We won't know for a while. I mean, Tyler Matzek is a guy coming off of Tommy John, and you got a single A player as well. So maybe down the road, this will be a trade that you look at and think that it's more than about money. But for right now, this one felt exclusively about the money.
Yeah, but for the Braves, they didn't have to do any background checks.
Right, because they know these guys.
They know exactly. Those guys. They wouldn't ask Soler to be back if he wasn't a good teammate. They wouldn't have. If he was a cancer or somebody like, oh my God, I don't care if he hits home runs, dude. He's going to disrupt everything we got going here that's good. This was a no-brainer for them. These were two champions that they brought back into a championship clubhouse and a championship atmosphere. And I'm sure they feel like, even though with the Albies injury and the Acuna injury and the Fried injury.
Strider.
That they can still... They feel like they can still, if they get into October, they have the recipe, the coaching staff, and the makeup and the mentality to win another one.
I think everything that you're laying out is entirely fair. And obviously you have the perspective of being a former player and being in clubhouses and talking to other players and knowing, you know, things that organizations do that makes players respect them. And I think a lot of players keep in mind and realize what the Giants have done here, which is trade away three veterans to quality places. Like all three of those guys are going to better places than they currently were at. Alex Cobb now has a chance to win a division. He's going to win a division with the Cleveland Guardians, has a chance to maybe win a World Series with the Guardians, and Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson have a chance to compete for a postseason spot. They're very likely going to make the postseason. Maybe they won't win their division. Probably not. The Phillies are dominating. But they have a chance to claim a wild card spot and go deeper into the playoffs. And that's all great. And Luke Jackson, by all accounts, a great teammate and a really good person. And don't have a negative word to say about Jorge Soler, but don't know exactly what he was like behind the scenes. Maybe his desire to hit leadoff and not be an RBI guy as he was paid was enough to frustrate the Giants and say, well, you're not worth our $14 million a year. But FP, I think it's kind of simple. I mean, at a certain point, you're a Giants team who doesn't really have the ability to hang around and just employ good teammates and good professionals. You got to employ good baseball players.
Agreed.
And this team has been mediocre for so long that you don't have the ability to just be like, well, at least he's a good guy. You got to go out and you got to put the best team as you possibly can on the field. And I guess maybe where we differ is I feel like the best team on the field, although his struggles early in the season for me still might include Jorge Soler, but now you don't have that opportunity.
I mean, I'll disagree in the sense that Jorge Soler is not a leadoff hitter. And if that's where he felt comfortable and that's where he wanted to hit, and you put him third and he's not comfortable there, or fourth and he's not comfortable there, then he has no value to my team. He's just not a leadoff hitter. Like, that's he clogs up the bases. He's not fast. He's not slow either, but he's not fast. So where's the value in having a 40 home run guy that can't run and strikes out more than anybody on the team leading the game off?
I mean, you don't really have another leadoff hitter anyway.
You do.
I mean, when asked about it earlier in the season, Bob Melvin was asked, why is Jorge Soler leading off? And he said, well, someone's got to.
Yeah, because you lost your leadoff hitter to a season-ending injury.
That's unfortunate. But like you guys were talking during the crossover about Tyler Fitzgerald hitting leadoff, and while he's probably a little bit more of a prototypical leadoff guy, generally speaking, and FP, you could speak to this, hitting leadoff for a young guy is a really difficult thing to do. It's hard. It's not easy.
And Soler, with his best numbers across all positions in the order, he was .866 OPS as a leadoff hitter. And his batting average is .279, which was second highest to when he batted fifth. So it seemed like he was more productive. I know what you're saying about clogging the bases and not a real speed guy, but this team doesn't do speed anyway. So yeah. I can kind of defend it to the extent that Soler, when he was leading off, was the best hitter that he had been in any other spot in the lineup. And you didn't have another leadoff hitter, so...
But I don't think Giants fans ever wrap their arms around Jorge Soler.
Agreed. And it's because most of his home runs were solo home runs in largely meaningless spots. I don't remember a lot of big home runs like, oh, Soler with two runners aboard to take a 4-2 game and make it 5-4. A lot of his home runs were afterthought home runs.
You were down by 10 or up by 10 already. Sure. When he hit his home runs.
That's why I don't think they got worse by getting rid of him. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. I'm just looking at this from a baseball standpoint. And if I have to evaluate, he had some of the most head-scratching at-bats this year I ever saw. Like in big situations, three-pitch Sias on sliders that were like the one they threw Javi Baez yesterday, where they set up in the first base dugout and he swung at it. And I'm like you just swung and missed at a slider that was in the left-handed batter's box. Guess what you're getting? And then you swing at the second one wildly. Guess what you're getting? And there was no adjustments made. And so there was a lot of times with runners in scoring position in big situations where his mind just turned off. It seemed, I don't know, and he was just swinging. So if you signed a guy to drive in runs and to be a middle of the order guy and to be a presence in the middle of the order, and he wants to lead off, or I was told, and I don't even know if this is true, that he felt more comfortable leading off. That's not why I signed him. So if I can get out from a 3-year deal on a guy that just is going to be my leadoff hitter. What happens when Jung-Hoo Lee comes back next year? And hey, bro, you got to hit third. You got to hit fourth. Well, I don't feel comfortable there. And I'm going to swing at three sliders in the dirt with the bases loaded every time.
He was terrible hitting fourth this year.
Give me the numbers. I mean, I'm just
539 OPS in 11 games. 45 at-bats hitting fourth. And he had no home runs. He was 9-for-40. Hitting cleanup.
I'm not crushing the guy.
I'm just saying the numbers.
I can understand,
you know,
why they did this move. This makes sense to me.
I mean, where has he hit the majority of his career? It's probably been in the middle part of the order, right? He hasn't had an issue with it before. Why does he have an issue with it now, potentially?
I don't know.
This year he led off more than any other spot, and second on his list was hitting sixth. And he did pretty well batting sixth with a .772 OPS and the most home runs with four.
And when they first put him up there, he did jumpstart the offense, or his presence... Right out of the gate, if I'm a starting pitcher and I got a guy that can hit the ball 700 feet, I got to have my A stuff. And maybe you get like red line pitches out of a starting pitcher in the first inning with his first six or seven pitches, or three in some cases. Maybe I'm too old school, but I want my leadoff guy to see pitches. I want him to be a presence on the base pass. I want the pitcher to think about him on first and maybe not so much the hitter. and had divided attention and hang a 2-2 slider to my second place or third place hitter.
Yeah, second is where he's batted the most in his career. He's had 963 plate appearances batting second, 52 home runs batting second, and then fourth, and then fifth in the order. Leadoff is something that's kind of been new for him, which makes it even a little bit more curious. Like, all of a sudden now, you want to be more comfortable batting leadoff, and maybe it's because the team didn't have a leadoff hitter. And I also do think that it might be a little bit of a marching order from upstairs, because I think about Bob Melvin, and I don't know Bob super well, but I've had a chance to talk to him over the course of 15 years since he's been with the A's and in and out. And I don't look at Bob Melvin and have him think, yeah, Jorge Soler, you're the guy who I want leading off.
So, it doesn't seem like a normal Bob Melvin decision.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, whatever. That's done. The trade deadline is now 10 minutes away. Mm-hmm. And all of us refreshing Twitter with every sentence. Yep. I talk. You guys refresh. Yeah, you talk. I refresh.
A little bit of news.
It's kind of how this is going.
A couple of trades. Brian De La Cruz, outfielder from the Marlins, big power hitter, goes to the Pittsburgh Pirates. So, the Pirates add a power hitting outfielder. That's Brian De La Cruz from Miami to Pittsburgh. And then another big one is, let's see here, the Baltimore Orioles are finalizing a deal to acquire outfielder Eloy Jimenez from Chicago White Sox.
Yeah.
That's a big name. The bigger Chicago White Sox potential trade piece outfielder is Luis Robert, but Eloy Jimenez does get traded to the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles have been busy. Of course,
Phillies
they're locked in a battle.
Phillies are acquiring left-hander Tanner Banks from the White Sox. Oh. So that's now happening.
The White Sox are just selling absolutely
little news right here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Grandy for Marty Lurie. Straight up. That's just on Twitter right now. Can you imagine if
I'm going to need a board op to be named later.
And a board op to be named later.
I like Marty. I like the host. I like the show. But, I mean, Grandy's
a
hot prospect.
That's a lopsided trade. That's a lopsided trade.
I don't know.
It's a win-now move for one side and not for the other
side. It's a futures play for the other side. I like it, FP. I always joked with our boss, Matt Nahigi, and like, we should do something like this as a company where, you know, whatever, our station in Pittsburgh can send an afternoon host and we'll send them a morning host and just for like a week or
send
whatever.
Send Guru
just
for a week to Pittsburgh.
Yes, no doubt.
I got that idea from my son. He just tweeted and it's pretty clever that imagine if you found out you got like traded to another company on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Like you're just scrolling through Twitter and like, oh, I'm working for Salesforce now. I got traded to Salesforce.
Totally.
Can you imagine?
That would be wild. Yeah. I mean, exactly. Just thinking about the salary going with you and, you know, new management and all the rest
of
it.
And most of these guys do find out real time on Twitter before their agents call them, before they get called into the manager's office. They'll just be like, oh, hey, guess what? I got traded. Did you see the bullpen in Chicago, the White Sox? One of their relievers got traded. And they were Brebbia. They were in a circle and they were passing around like a big monster. I think it was a beer. It could have been an energy drink, but they were all in a circle passing it around and they were pouring one out for their buddy.
It was gone. Just got down.
And for like the 10 other White Sox who have been traded.
During the game. Maybe they're celebrating the fact that he got out of Chicago.
All right, we got about 7.5 minutes until the trade deadline. We got a break coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Then we'll come back, and if there's any news during the time we are at break, we'll let you know. The Giants have made a couple of moves. Yesterday, they traded Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson to the Atlanta Braves. You get back the Braves' number 17th overall prospect. He's currently in high A, 21 years old. Don't expect him to have an impact on the Giants' big league squad for a number of years if he does. Tyler Matzik, a left-handed relief pitcher. He's currently on the IL with throwing elbow inflammation. It's kind of a red flag because he had Tommy John just last year. He's 33 years old. We don't know if he's ever going to pitch for the Giants. It's essentially a salary dump. The Giants save a lot of money as the Braves take on all of the Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson contracts, which weren't cheap by any stretch of the imagination. The Giants, earlier today, they trade Alex Cobb to the Cleveland Guardians for a 19-year-old left-handed pitcher who's also currently in around single A. And they also traded Mike Bauman, who they just recently acquired. They trade him away to the Angels for cash considerations. At this point, I think we can sum up the Giants' moves as generally being financially motivated. Maybe you think the Giants are a little bit better. Maybe you think they didn't really get any worse. Maybe you think they're a little bit worse. However you label it, I'm not so sure the Giants are that different of a baseball team from yesterday to now. But it's also a little bit frustrating, Dibs, because you're in a spot where maybe you believe that this is a Giants team that can actually put a run together, and you could have supplemented that by going out and getting someone else. You traded pieces away, and I know you guys both feel like it's not the end of the world. You're not like you're going to be a whole lot worse as a result, but you're also relatively clearly not a whole lot better, in my opinion.
I don't think that you could have added anything that would make you a whole lot better without costing a lot in what you're trying to do for maybe this year and also next year. And I think that job one was to try to get below the competitive balance tax as close as you could.
And you're not there yet.
No, but you're closer. You're much closer. And if you look at the offseason and Snell and Ray, one or both, if they opt out, then you're going to be below the CBT for sure at that point.
But you'll be over this year and you lose, I think it's your second and your fifth most earliest picks in next year's draft,
right?
If you're over.
Well, that's the cost of what you did back in March and April, where you decided to go for it. So you decided to go for it, and so far it hasn't worked out, but I think the moves that you've made today and the deadline now coming up here in 5 minutes, and trades are still starting to trickle in, maybe they will make a big deal, but even if they don't, I feel like you haven't sacrificed your chance between now and September of still being a wild card team. The wild card is fairly wide open. You have the best rotation in the National League, and you lost Soler and you added Luciano. If that's going to be the way that move goes, for me, even if you got worse, you only got a little tiny bit worse.
We do have some major breaking news, not related to the Giants, but one of the best pitchers on the market has been traded. Let's hit the breaking news. If we got it. No, we don't. That's all right. That's all right.
Breaking news.
There we go.
95.7 The Game. Breaking news.
I was closest, by the way. My sound effects were money. Good job, FP. One of the biggest pitchers on the market has been traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers as they acquire Jack Flaherty. Jack Flaherty, previously of the Detroit Tigers, he is now a Los Angeles Dodger. Might be the biggest, one of the biggest pitchers that does get moved. Of course, Blake Snell, I think most would agree, better than Jack Flaherty. But the Dodgers make another move. They acquire Jack Flaherty, and their pitching staff suddenly gets a little bit better. Interesting move there for the Dodgers. They got one of the best pitchers on the market. We'll see if the Giants have a move to react to that. But I would not be crossing my fingers waiting for that.
Well, the move to react would not be trading Blake Snell. So, I mean, if you're going to try to react to that, the Dodgers getting a better pitching staff, even though
you trade away maybe your best pitcher?
Exactly. Even what though if you, trade you don't the, play the Dodgers again, but
what if you trade with the Dodgers for Jack Flaherty?
Yeah, there you
Blake
go.
Blake Snell to the Dodgers for Jack Flaherty and like 74 prospects that the Dodgers have.
Perfect.
I love your creativity, FP. All right, we got to hit a break. We got 3 minutes left until the MLB trade deadline. Some trades could still come through a few minutes after the trade deadline. So we'll come back. We'll break down any news that we missed during the next 5 minutes, and we will put a bow on the Giants' moves for this season. All that is coming up on the other side. It's Willard and Dibs, FP and Mark Randy, alongside Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. More Willard and Dibs next on 95.7 The Game.